Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Took the family to a concert called Wango Tango on Saturday, and I took the entire family. By that, I mean my wife and myself and the four kids, the three boys, the little girl, and went and saw a lineup that included Enrique Iglesias, Goo Goo Dolls, Lenny Kravitz, Sugar Ray, Eiffel 65, Bosson, which, to give it to understand, is a guy from Sweden. You know this guy, Mike? Mike Schaefer, who wishes he was producing a music show instead of this one, is in the other studio right now. When I said the words Bosson, which is actually one word, he leapt up and began humping the glass between our two studios. Just, oh, yeah, that guy? Sure. Eiffel 65, did I mention? And NSYNC hosted it, and Lenny Kravitz. The three best acts, this was at Dodger Stadium on Saturday, went from 2 o'clock until 11. Kind of thing that Craig Taylor would find himself body slamming at. Not hardly, really. Probably wasn't loud enough for you. Wasn't crude enough for you. Wasn't good enough for you, Craig! Now you're kind of stuff. But, you know, an old man like me, I got into Goo Goo Dolls, Lenny Kravitz. Of course, all that stuff I said about Lenny on Friday not being good, I was joking. That guy was phenomenal. And Sugar Ray, outstanding. And Mark McGrath is a tremendous talent in his own right, the lead singer and the prime creative force of Sugar Ray, is actually going to be hanging around with us on Wednesday watching us do our show. But we will not have that open to our listeners. You can't come here. Only he can. And I don't know what that represents, really. I mean, I don't know whether I should say it's pissing off people right now as I say that. But he's a great guy, and he likes our show, and we like his music. So he's going to sit here, and we'll feed him coffee and beer. And Schaefer's got to go down and meet him at the door and all that stuff. It's going to be hot. Anyway, that cat, man, they stopped the show. He wandered into the crowd. Lenny Kravitz got into the crowd about halfway through his set. And just to give you an idea of who I was hanging around with, I'm with 14, 12, 10, and 8-year-old kids. Because this is a full-on teen show. Real, lots of teens. It's a real teen event. You know, and so they're there to hear the hits. Now, Lenny Kravitz, the first, I'd say, half of his set was a lot of music nobody ever heard before. A lot of really kind of almost extemporaneous, improvisational kind of thing. And he's on stage, he's got a trumpet player. There's a dude doing a trumpet solo. Now, how well do you think that's going to go over with a whole bunch of kids about 12? What? What? What's that? Are you crazy? Hey, guys, want to go see a dude do a trumpet solo? Are you serious? So, anyway, then the guy leaves, then he comes back. They did the whole encore thing with Lenny, even though the crowd didn't really want him back, which I got to tell you, I loved him. But like I said, the first half of the set, he leaves and the stage goes dark and they're waiting for the fans to just, you know, bring him back. And it was like everybody was going to take get themselves another Coke. So he came back anyway. Thank you for that resounding reception. Came back out and he did Fly Away. Is that the tune? And NSYNC came out and jammed with him. Now, I know nobody here is an NSYNC fan. They jammed. They jammed with Limp. Did you? I didn't tell you this, Craig. Craig's throwing his, he can't believe this. He's going to dye his hair back. He's going to get his nose unpierced. NSYNC came out and jammed with Lenny Kravitz on Fly. That part, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah. That part, that's what they harmonized on. So there they were flanking Lenny Kravitz. I'm going to tell you, it was quite a moment. It was a beautiful moment. And what does that do? That destroys your opinion of Lenny Kravitz?
I already didn't like him.
You already didn't like the guy. This just verifies why I didn't like him. The mere fact of me saying that NSYNC was jamming with Lenny Kravitz, and all of a sudden I got my producer dry heaving into a waste paper basket, why don't you grow up? It was very good. And the Goo Goo Dolls and Sugar Ray, it was a good deal. And the best part of this was that I drove the car, and unlike last year, I did no special transportation. We don't want anything special. By the way, all of the men that traditionally listen to my show, I know that they've completely gone away, and that's fine. We've completely deserted the show here in the first 10 minutes, talking about Goo Goo Dolls, Lenny Kravitz, Sugar Ray, NSYNC, and 12-year-old kids. There isn't a man listening to this show within thousands of miles of this transmitter. And that's okay with me. Because I got to get this set anyway. I got to talk about it, all right? It's my life. I got to get it out. So we got into the car. We drove over there to the thing, and I'm driving, and the kids didn't bellyache because they weren't in a limo. And I said, that's good. You know, you guys are learning. And so we're going to park like maybe 300 yards away. You know how Dodger Stadium is? You got to park way up the side near the ice plant, whatever, and all that close-in parking. That's season ticket holder stuff, or that's the ball players park there, yada, 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 right? Well, I'm driving along, and I notice one of those little lots that are right next to the club-level entrance, right? And I say, I'm going to go in there and try this. So I pull up next to the guys, one of these little blue-vested dudes. I said, hey, hey, brother, and he's a black guy. So right away, it was a wrong move, but I thought I'd try it anyway. I said, hey, brother, and I believe I said it just like that. Hey, brother, what do I got to be to park here? And he goes, I'll tell you what, for $20, man, you park there right now. I said, don't mess around, man. Serious. I'm serious. $20, you can park right there. I said, when I come out, is my car still going to be here? Because you are black, and, you know. He goes, I understand it. No, it'll still be here. You swear to God? Yes. All right. So I'm 3 feet away from the door. We parked at $20. I greased the guy. And the kids thought that was really cool. Phil bribed this guy, and they thought it was awesome that, you know, I like, greased the guy for $20. Got the car parked there. And so the power of money, and especially the second oldest one, Alex, he already believes in money. He believes in money. You don't have to convince this kid anything. Bill Gates is his main man, and the power of the dollar is all. And religion, spirituality, the essence of life, what's that? Are you serious? So we went in, and we went to the suite where they had the Dodger Stadium's been changed since last season. You know the club-level seats? Those are all knocked out. Now they got suites there. And they're big, and they're beautiful. They've got dessert trays. They have coolers full of beer. They have, you know, and halfway through the show now, the whole suite is full of people milling around. And now it's dark. And now I'm being blinded by these searchlights, these Klieg lights that are kind of, they're flashing across the crowd. These Klieg lights are kind of like flashing into my eyes, and they've released this huge billowing cloud of tinsel. It's like this silver stuff that's flying in the air, and there's fireworks going off, and there's Lenny Kravitz on the stage, and suddenly huge balloons are being blown up in a tank at the back of the suite, you know, where we're drinking our beer and wine, and they're passing these huge balloons to the children that are arrayed in front of me, and I'm being blinded by the Klieg lights. I'm seeing silver everywhere. I'm seeing fireworks going off. I'm seeing Lenny Kravitz, you know, crowd stage diving, and I'm seeing the children dancing in front of me, and it was like I was in a luxury box with Evita, man. I was in Peru. I was with Saddam Hussein, you know? I was with the privileged children of an otherwise despotic, tyrannical, totalitarian regime, and there I am, suddenly, again, feeling guilty and bad because I'm having a good time, so I have to compare this moment of music, this moment of fun, balloons, and dessert for children, I have to compare it to a South American totalitarian regime. That's where my mind goes. I was sitting thinking how privileged these children are and how wonderful they have it. And it was almost as if I was in a dream. I wasn't even. And then I realized that I'd taken a hit of acid 3 hours before. And that's why that was going on. So now you know. I'm only kidding about the acid. No, but it's all coming back to me now. Like I was in some kind of a wild dream, and that's because I'd done some balloons before I came in. No, but really, I saw these kids. Obviously, my four kids are jumping up and down as if they're part of this. You know, the emperor's children. And below us, the unwashed who have to sit on the field and have to stand in line for Cokes and have to bring their own toilet paper. So there was one more thing for me to be depressed about. I ain't going to Wango Tango next year. Wango Tango. And what's that mean? Anyway, it was really fun. And I want to thank everybody involved in doing it. It was great. And all you guys that went to it, you probably had a great time. And, you know, whatever, man, it's teen music. I ain't been to a show in so long. What's the last show you went and saw, Mike? Oh, you and Gretchen, you go all the time. Who the hell did I see? I think the last show I went to was like Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's how long it's been. The guy was alive. Stevie Ray Vaughan was alive. Last live radio, rock and roll show. Other if you don't count clubs. If you count clubs, I saw Hanson. No, but that, what are you laughing at? It was great. No, I don't know the last thing I saw. The last live event that I saw was the Woodstock movie that was on TV about 2 o'clock the other morning. And I went outside and I rolled around in the mud of that big hole in my backyard just to kind of get the feel of it. And then I went in and I poisoned myself with some bad clam dip so I'd know, you know, what dysentery is like. Smoked a big fat joint. And now I was right there. I was there. I was living it. I was loving it. And I was in the midst of it. And then I was pregnant 9 months later. 1-800, maybe I did take acid, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, can I tell that story on the air? I won't tell it, you and your friends. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I just heard the greatest story involving NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. Perfect for my young male demo. Anyway, I'm sorry I'm talking so much about it, but you know what? I got four kids, so what do you want from me, okay? You clowns, you're going to be right in that wheelhouse one of your days, one of your very, very soon days in your life there thing kind of stuff. Then you'll know. Then you'll see. You got to go to stuff like this. And then, and of course, being a man, I don't know whether it's jealousy. I don't know what it is. But am I wrong not to like Enrique Iglesias? Am I wrong to point out things like the guy looked like he was going through the motions? Am I wrong to point that out? Or is that just me saying, oh, geez, there's a young, hot, young Latin dude that my wife was rubbing herself. I'm kidding, honey. No, she wasn't. I was going to say she was rubbing herself up against Craig Taylor, who was there. I'm just joking around. Am I wrong to say the cat, he ain't got a very strong voice. And then he did this thing. He pulled his shirt up and was showing his midriff. Ah, the whole thing. God, I wish I was him. And then another thing that happened was he pulled a girl out of the crowd. Enrique, wait a minute, I'm getting this now. Enrique's trying to sack one of your girlfriend's friends. By sack, you mean fire her, as in the British sack, or take her to bed? And you wanted me to read that on the air so that I could get sued by him and you could still get the information out? Thank you very much, Craig. Craig Taylor just gave me that information that Enrique Iglesias is trying to sack one of Nikki's friends, and his girlfriend Nikki told him that, and I just announced this so that his people can sue me and the information is still floating around out there. So great, I've slandered him. How do you know this? What does your girlfriend do for a living? Oh, it's one of her friends. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I saw this guy, and he brought a girl out of the crowd, and she was a young, you know, young chick, you know, just there in her summer wear. She got her shorts and her sneakers, and she came with her girlfriends. And the next thing you know, she's up on stage with Enrique Iglesias, and he's singing to her, and he's licking her face. And then the ultimate, I guess, would you, a la Springsteen, circa 1987. Thank you very much. But did Springsteen ever grab a chick's hands and place them right on his buttock? Did he ever do that? Because they were embracing, and she put her arms around him, and then he grabbed her hands, which were up around his waist, and moved them right down to a cheek apiece. Just one hand at a cheek. Seriously. I got Taylor and I got Schaefer looking at me disapprovingly, like, that's disgusting. But you want to know something? The last time I saw that, seriously, where I saw a guy take a woman's hand and place it directly on his rear end at Mike Schaefer's wedding last June, where Mike grabbed Gretchen's hand. I'm kidding around, man. He's not even listening to me. One time I was in Jamaica. This is the God's honest truth. I was in a swimming pool in Jamaica, and I'm looking up, and there were some people getting married, and they were standing on the dance floor of this hotel. And by the way, yes, this woman will probably sue him for sexual harassment. She'll think, hey, you know, he's Enrique Iglesias. I could get a couple of dollars out of this thing. He grabbed my hands and slid them right onto his ass. I think I'll sue him. If the lady who was at that Wango Tango concert when Enrique took your hands and put them on his rear end, sue him! Sue him! Sue him! This is L.A. No other city in America will you be able to win that lawsuit but here. Sue him. No other city in America would even hear a lawsuit like that. But L.A., they will. I'm telling you, sue the guy. Enrique, nothing personal, baby, but you got to understand, man, we got to make a little hay while the sun shines here. That girl, she probably has got, then got two nickels to rub together. So give her a break. Pay her off now. Settle out of court, Enrique. Settle out of court now before this thing gets dragged in front of the magistrate and you are dragged up in front. How dare you take that girl's hands and stick them on your rear end that you took out of the crowd there and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for her while her girlfriends are down there swooning and rubbing themselves on fire poles. How dare you sexually harass that woman. So the guy's up there and he does that whole number and then he splits and then we got fireworks in Cisco and that was the end of the night and then I tried to find the car and we drove home and my wife got us lost in East L.A. and we got rolled and it was great. Now, we're trying to find the freeway out of Dodger Stadium is always a great thing. Which way do you go? I go down Sunset Boulevard. Now, let me give you an idea here for those of you who don't live in Los Angeles. Sunset Boulevard out of Dodger Stadium, that ain't the Hollywood part. You usually take the 5? Oh, you go up the, you, what you do is you go up the Hollywood to the 5. Well, in any event, Sunset Boulevard through the part of near Dodger Stadium is through, you know, whatever it's through. It's working class neighborhood. It's fine. But, you know, Maria, she ain't got the greatest sense of direction. And if it wasn't for me navigating and screaming into her ear in a half drunken manner because she was the designated driver, we wouldn't have gotten home. I'm fairly convinced, although she doesn't agree with me. And I said, go right, go right, go right. No, excuse me. You got to go left. And so we found our way over to the freeway, getting the hell out of there. What is it about pedestrians when they're en masse and there's one car, they feel they can pound on the car? Why is that? Just because you're walking, do you resent the fact that someone else is riding? Because when you get into any large crowd of people at a ball game, 4th of July, anything, and you're in the car, and you're suddenly surrounded by, say, 100 pedestrians, they suddenly feel empowered to pound on the hood of your car or pound on the back of your car. You ever seen that? Now, how come? Is it because these poor sorry suckers had to park 15 miles away and you were smart enough to pay off some dude to get up right next to the club level? Is that it? You resent me for that? That I laid 20, that I greased this guy for $20 so I don't have to walk 86 miles? So I'm parked in the crosswalk. What's it to you? You should move your car out of the crosswalk. Oh, okay, let me move my car out of the crosswalk. Whoops, it's in reverse. Do I need to move my car to the crosswalk after you've moved away from my car? Should I just go ahead and gas it now? You need to move your car. Oh, Jesus. What is that? One car, 100 pedestrians. Guess what happens? They start pounding on the hood of your car, kicking, you know. You see, I do have horsepower here, folks. You hit my car, I'm going to throw it into reverse because they generally do it in the back, right? Because they figure you're not going to throw it into reverse and run them over. 4 men aren't alive today because they made an assumption about me. 4 men and a child are not alive today because they made that assumption about me. 4 men, a child, and I think an elderly woman. I'm not sure. I didn't recognize it when I got out to check. And a dog. I'm pretty sure it was a dog. Well, it had a skirt and it had those Mother Goose shoes. I think it was an old lady. All I remember was feeling the... You know, something under the drivetrain. And, oh, geez, look at that, pedestrians. In any event, so we got out of there. It was a lot of fun, but I'm never taking the kids into any luxury. Now's the part of their lives where they're going to find out what it's like to sit nosebleed, stand in line for a Coke, and have to use a bathroom where a guy, maybe two, maybe four, haven't flushed ahead of you. And now it doesn't do any good to flush, because if you do, it's all going to come back up and out onto the cement. That's what I want them to know. Oh, and yeah, somebody puked in there just for good measure. And then left his phone number with an approximation of what his genitals look like, scratched with a penknife. Hi, I just threw up in this toilet. If you'd like a good time. So that's the next trip we're going to take with the kids. In other words, we're taking them to the California 500. We're going out to Suntucky, otherwise known as Fontana. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Listen to that. We have moved out into the, really just the lunchroom area here of the studio where we work. And I got Carl Misla is going to be coming along in just a moment. Carl is with Real Back Meats. a Australian meat company, and some of this stuff just looks fantastic. Carl, how are you?
Very good, Phil.
And let me just get my notes here while you're cooking. Boy, that smells fantastic.
Right, the putting some garlic on it.
Now that's garlic.
That's a bit of garlic. Also, a ranchero salsa is a sort of salsa mix there.
Right, so he's throwing some garlic salt on there. But can you smell that, Craig? Out of sight. Now, what we're here for and what we're doing is barbecue season is upon us, and I know that. My man, Schaefe, just bought a brand spanking new barbecue, and his isn't as good as mine. I have the little side burner for sauces. His is kind of cheap, but I'm kidding around, Mike. You got a really good barbecue. He just bought one. How about you, Taylor? You using that what? What are you using, that kettle, that Kenmore deal? And I got mine. So we really are looking for good cuts of meat steak. What's the most popular thing that people barbecue this time of year, Carl?
The thing that they that people all love is probably hamburgers, but the others, the steaks, ribs.
Steaks and ribs, hamburgers, hot dogs.
Hot dogs for the children, right. But these real back steaks here, is summertime, as you said, Phil, is upon us. And this is some great stuff. The meat is all prepared, and it's seasoned, sent out to people either frozen or fresh. It keeps very well.
What difference does it make if something's frozen or fresh?
It's not a lot of difference, really. The meat is tenderized, it's treated, it is salted, it's delicious. And this meat, real back meats, the most tender, juicy barbecue meat that you could possibly buy. It's fantastic.
By the way, the sizzling loop that you can hear the edit very prominently in it, so that's a great job. And, all you engineering types, I want you to listen very carefully for the edit in our sizzling loop. Okay.
That's right, I could hear that.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question. Realback Meats is an Australian company. You yourself are Australian, Carl.
That's correct.
Why are you... obviously, you're bringing this over, your product over to the United States, right?
That's right, Phil. The Realback Meat is a corporation formed in Australia, some great Australian meats that we feel can compete favorably with the American brands. They're all different companies in Australia. Realback is part of a consortium, really, of companies that are trying to break into the American market. And
Australia, like America, has plenty of land to raise beef and can compete that way, the way South America can, right?
Well, it's not really for real back meat. It's not a matter of grazing, but it is a matter of competing with the American meat companies. And we feel we've got a great product here.
Now you're cooking up some steaks here. I see you're also going to put on some hot hamburgers.
Got the hamburgers there, and some hot dogs too. Some sausages.
And that's there. There was the edit right there.
That was the edit. I could hear it right.
So, I see Craig Taylor making a note. Fix edit on sizzling loop. I can see that.
Right. Craig, call Misler here. Fix the edit on the sizzling loop, all right? He says he's got one fixed over there.
Okay, go ahead and hit your sizzling loop, and that way... There you go. All right, now, tell me a little bit about Realback Meat. And are we going to be eating here pretty soon?
We're going to be eating up here in just a moment, Phil. This beautiful steak that I've got here. And we'll keep cooking the ribs and everything.
That smells fantastic. Well, what's the secret? Why is Realback Meats better than other meats that we can buy?
Tender is the mother's. It's very, very tender, very juicy. And
is this ranch-fed, corn-fed beef? Do you get it directly from the ranch?
Well, the idea behind Realback Meats, Phil, and I want you to keep an open mind about this. How open-minded are you about good meat?
How open-minded am I about good meat?
Right.
I don't understand your question.
Well, the idea of Realback Meats is revolutionary. Last year, we had over some 700 different fatality automobile accidents involving juveniles in Australia.
Yeah.
And at the time, we thought, because of the price of beef, we could do something. What's the matter? Why are you backing away from me?
Carl, just go ahead and tell me what you want to tell me, man. Because I just had a hamburger.
Right. It's deli- tell me, was it good or not?
It was good. But now what are you trying to tell me?
Well, I asked you a question. You wouldn't answer my question.
Your question was, how open-minded am I about my meat?
Right.
I guess I'm open-minded about it. I mean, go ahead. What's the question? What do you want to tell me?
Well, as I said, the last 6 months in Australia, there have been an unfortunate upturn of juvenile fatalities on the highway. A supply of fresh meat was required. What's the matter?
Oh, my God.
I haven't finished my story.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
Let me finish my story. That's why I ask you if you're open-minded. Yeah, have another bite here of this hot dog. Is it good?
It's very good. Are you telling me?
Phil, the beef business is competitive. Now, here, steady him for a minute. He's about to faint. Phil, listen to me. This is Cole Misler. The beef business is competitive. And for us to make a dollar...
You're using human flesh, is that it?
Is it good?
I gotta go. I'm gonna be sick.
Jesus, what a pussy.
Go ahead, Mr. Misler, and continue. I'm Bud Dickman. I'm a show producer.
All right. This is Cole Misler, here with Real Back Meats, and summertime is upon us. Yes, we do use the cut, very tender beef, tender meat, I should say. It tastes like beef, but it's actually human flesh. But it is delicious, it's tender, and it's all human flesh that's not over the age of 7. So it's all very tender, very young, and pink. Yes, Real Back Meats. Young and tender.
Okay. I'm Bud Dickman. Mr. Henry is not indisposed right now. Because this man, Mr. Misler, had Real Back Meats is made out of human flesh.
Yeah, try it, bud.
I don't mind if I do. It's great.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Really good, Mr. Misler. I don't know what's wrong, Mr. Here, Mr. Henry, what's this made out of?
I think that was a 4-year-old child who was thrown from a car.
It's really good, Phil.
Get it away from me.
Come on, Phil, try it.
Get it away from me, please.
Very tender.
Right, do you like it rare?
Don't mind if I do. And then, let me guess, these are real baby back ribs.
You got it.
All right. Well, Carl Misler from Real Back Meats, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, bud.
And if you'd like to more information on Real Back Meats, they use real human flesh. It's all young, not over the age of 7. You can call him at 213-251-3189. I'm Bud Dickman on the Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
Previously on the Phil Henry Show.
Palm Springs on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a woman within the age group that the, I guess, expert, if you want to call him that.
25 to 54.
Yes, I'm 33, and I have no intention or desire to have sex with either one of them. Not that the women who want to could, because it's not like you can go sleep with anyone in Hollywood.
Well, you're telling me that women don't go absolutely nuts when Tom Cruise walks into a restaurant? Get out of here.
No, I think they're attractive men, but so are a lot of Catholics I know, so are a lot of Jewish people I know. I'm not going to convert for every man that I think is good-looking, and I don't want to have sex with every man I think is good-looking either.
Of course
you're
not.
A male chauvinist pig.
No, but you were talking about Tom Cruise and John Travolta, the two sexiest guys that have ever been.
Right, and how do you think that their wives would appreciate them being Scientologists and knowing they're going to go around and sleep with every woman? These people are married.
Well, I don't think the doctor's saying that they're going to sleep with every woman, but they'll induce women to join Scientology so that they'll sleep with the other...
With the Satan males, with the Scientology
male. Oh, but not with
male.
Tom Cruise and John Travolta.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you're saying we want to sleep
required.
With them. If we can't sleep with them, then, you know, why bother?
No, that's what I'm saying. You'll want to sleep with any Scientologist. That's how strong their mind powers
are. No, you're saying if they look like Tom Cruise, we want to sleep with Tom Cruise. Now you're saying, any Scientologist.
You don't
You're
think...
not a woman between the ages of 25 and 54, so you don't know what the hell you're talking
about. Well, you know,
you're mentally
good,
weak.
That's a good
We're
point.
We're intellectually weak.
Well, that's a good point,
what
but
the hell
is
that?
I've gotten around in my life. I've been...
Obviously, you're a male chauvinist.
Yeah, I've been to bed with a lot of women.
Women as objects, you say we're intellectually weak. I know.
No, I didn't say intellectually weak. I said emotionally vulnerable.
It's
a very big difference. You wouldn't know it to look at me, but I've been...
The women that you slept with, you may know, and obviously...
I have been to bed with a lot of women. I'm not a very good-looking man.
And they're obviously all losers if you can generalize and say all women are intellectually weak.
No, what I'm trying to...
The women you slept with are losers if they would sleep with you. They may be intellectually weak.
You don't think that you want to sleep with them, but trust me, after you see Battlefield Earth and Mission Impossible, you will reach down for a couple of ankles for a Scientologist.
Really?
Because
I've seen all their movies, and I think they're good-looking in all of them. I don't know why, you know, Scientology...
Well, Battlefield Earth is a movie... Battlefield Earth was written by L. Ron Hubbard, who is...
There you go, Phil. Battlefield Earth is the autobiographical account of L. Ron Hubbard coming here from another planet or whatever he thought he did and landing here and then going out and gathering and hunting for food... and eventually setting up a compound.
Well, let me make another point about that song. First of all, that was a Bee Gees song. Are they Scientologists? What does that have to do with John Travolta?
That is a John Travolta movie. That's a John Travolta movie.
Okay,
that's a John Travolta
song. So because they're humming?
Tell me what they're saying.
Because they're mumbling?
Tell me what they're saying.
I don't know what they're saying. I don't particularly like
the song.
There you
go. What? Because it...
But it's a Bee Gees song.
Blah,
what does that have to do with Scientology? Now you're saying
I said it's a John Travolta film.
Singing it. It's the Bee Gees. They're not even Scientologists.
You know, there's only the one thing worse than a woman who is emotionally weak is one that runs off at the mouth.
Well, let me tell you another thing. How about Kirstie Alley? Kirstie Alley is a leading Scientologist. She's been one before John Travolta. She brought all these weak men into it.
No, I put a feed bag on her.
Why doesn't she have any power?
I put a feed bag on her.
Oh, she's a woman.
Well,
only the men can be these men of power and can just lure us women into them.
I'd lean her over a barrel. I got no problem with Kirstie Alley.
Okay, well.
Okay, so you'd have sex with Kirstie Alley. What has that got to do with you wanting to be a Scientologist?
This is the first that I've heard that Kirstie Alley is a Scientologist.
Well,
Are you telling me that she is?
Yes, she is. She brought John Travolta and Tom Cruise into it. So I guess the men are intellectually
weak.
Then
I'm interested in Scientology. I didn't know that.
I should become a cult expert.
Any man would do Kirstie. I'll tell you this. Any man would do Kirstie, even though she's an ugly-ass dog. But that's power. You see, that's...
Oh, God. Do we have to insult the woman now?
It's true.
No, because he's a chauvinist.
I would sleep with her.
Insult women.
You'd sleep with Kirstie Alley.
And you would be a Scientologist, too, right?
Yes, I would.
See?
See what?
So obviously it's not just women that would do it. I guess men. So we have lost the battle. I think it's maybe stupid men.
Well, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I don't.
That's the power of Scientology.
I'm not a Scientologist.
Yeah, well, you'd do Tom Cruise in the butt area, wouldn't you?
Okay, you are really out of line now, man.
No, I'm serious.
That's not for real.
No, I am telling you that Tom Cruise and John Travolta are so sexual that you love both of those men, don't you?
All right, thank you very much for your call.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
Oh, my God. We worked everything into that one. I'm sure the Bee Gees. That's the whole trip, man.
In the butt area.
All right, anyway. I don't know. That Dr. Jim Sadler, I've been working on an impression of him because he's something else. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry's show here. Was Mother's Day a good day for you? It was for me. We'll be recapping our Mother's Day in a 10-part series coming up all this week. Mother's Day, what did you have to drink? And that's coming up all this week. I know, Mike. I know. I can see your Italian/Irish eyes glinting in the sunlight as you recount wine for dinner, beer in the afternoon, a couple of cocktails just before dinner. No, actually, we took the kids out. We bothered some of our neighbors at their pool. That was it. We went over and bothered some of Maria's friends and hung around to 2 hours longer than we should have, bugging them, drinking their beer, and eating all of their food and having our kids walk through their house wet. It was really great. And I sat there and slugged down a few Tecatis and watched the sun sink on my life. No, it was a lot of fun, I guess. I don't know. You know what, man? I can't. Sundays they suck because you got to go to work the next day. You have to get up. You know, it's like school. It never ends. It never ends. I remember Sunday night as a kid, I'd hear that theme music from It's About Time on CBS, and I'd want to vomit. You don't remember the show, but it came on about 7:30, 8 o'clock on CBS on Sunday nights, and it went, "It's about time, it's about space." And as soon as I heard that, I wanted to pitch up into a paper bag. Well, it's no different now when I hear the 60 Minutes on CBS. Same thing. Oh, I got to get up tomorrow and go to work. No wonder I'm ill. It's the worst day of the week. I feel like suicide on Monday. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a blood sugar thing. I feel like I could take out a whole schoolroom. Maybe not. Whole radio station. Maybe half of them. But it's, so, you know, Sunday night, sitting there watching the sunset as the kids were chowing down, it was kind of a quasi-barbecue thing. It was okay. It was Mom's Day. And I got the kids up, and we bought some nice presents for Mom, and she came downstairs. I got my wife a martini shaker that wouldn't open up. It wouldn't open. I couldn't get the lid off of it. Got it at the Pottery Barn. You know, you go to those stores like Williams and Sonoma and Crate and Barrel, you really think you're getting some high-class stuff? You know what? Don't be thinking too soon, man. I got this stuff. It's made in India. I can't even get the top of the thing off. I thought it was kind of an interesting martini shaker because you twist it around and it has different cocktail recipes on it. It's a pretty cool shaker, yeah, if you can get it open. You got one? Oh, you got yours open? Great, Mike. Thanks for telling me that. Got her a couple of martini glasses. Then the kids, we got her 2 pounds of chocolate, which the kids ate. She didn't. And I didn't get any of it. And what else did we get her? Oh, a couple of talking picture frames where you can put the pictures in and you push a button. Hi, Mom. I really love you, and it's neat being your kid. And one of the kids had this really cool message, okay, all set up on this thing. You push the button. Hi, Mom. I really love you, and it's really neat being your kid. And one of the other kids got to it and changed it. So it was something like, hey, butt face. Okay, so she didn't know it, and she went to push the button with the kid's face, and there it goes, hey, butt face. And, of course, the other kid who gave it goes, what did you do? So that erupted into a fist fight. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, really. Phil Hendry here at 1-800-449-8686.